So our reading room manager is Keith Murphy.
Right. And
he's our first point of contact for most of our readers, whether they phone in or email in, and extremely knowledgeable, knows more than any of the rest of us about the photographic collections here.
Could I ask Keith to show me something then?
Yes, you could, yeah.
Keith, I was interested to see the casements pictures.
Yeah. Sort of a copy of the casement collection, that's from our online catalogue.
So this is like a blue ring binder that's got photocopies of...
Yeah.
And if I wanted to... So if I want to see the original album, can I do that, or...?
We don't normally issue the originals, but if they got permission from Elizabeth, say, we could show them the originals.
Once we've digitised something, we don't generally make the originals available, but in exceptional circumstances where somebody's doing a piece of specialist research, you know, looking at technique or something very specialised, we will...
Yeah. What do most people in here, what are they looking at?
They could be doing research on their hometowns, or a lot of people are from TV companies and they're doing projects, like, so certain anniversaries that are coming up.
So
we
could actually go down.
Yeah.
And behind the scenes.
Okay. It's so exciting.
It's your privilege, that we don't normally allow non-staff members here. There's a vast amount of material stored here, ranging from glass plates to plastics, so anything in the negatives format, and ranging in age from, I suppose, the 1850s really upwards, so a huge amount of material here.
There's three different size glass plates. There's the cabinet, the royal, and imperial. Imperial is the largest.
So how big is an imperial format?
12 by 10.
Most of the photographic collections were taken from other parts of the collections in the library and moved as a unit to the National Photographic Archive. Initially, the emphasis was on glass plates and primarily the Lawrence collection of 40,000 items. And over the years, the collection has grown. The acquisition a number of years ago of the Irish Independent Photographic Collection of four point three million items has hugely increased our numbers, and then we've acquired other collections as well, and we have lots of smaller collections. The material is acquired by gift, it's acquired by purchase, and sometimes we have commissioned work as well.
To go back to the acquisitions policy, is there anything you wouldn't collect?
What we'd collect is a record of the documentary and intellectual output of Ireland. So in terms, what that means for photographs is that I suppose our leaning is more towards collecting material that captures what life on the island of Ireland like is, you know, and has been like, what it means to be Irish, I suppose. So the definition in the broadest possible sense of Irishness. And Irish people have always travelled abroad, so we do have Irish photographers who've collected material from abroad as well as photographers from abroad working in Ireland.
Is there an emphasis on professional as against amateur, or any particular types of picture that you would prize more?
I think the emphasis is on the content, it's picture content. We can't take in collections that require a huge investment in terms of preservation or conservation. So condition of a photograph is important. Then in terms of the content, it doesn't matter who generates that, whether it's a state-of-the-art photographer or an amateur. If the subject matter covers material that captures our, you know, fulfills our statutory remit, then we'll acquire it. Did you want to see the Irish Independent?
Yes, I'm curious. This in itself is a big room, but it's got very efficient shelving, so it's kind of quite compact.
We call it rolling shelving.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of work in hand here, so obviously collections have come in that we have yet to finish sorting, and the Irish Independent is one example. It's, as I mentioned earlier, a massive collection, 4.3 million. We've estimated a mixture of glass plates and plastics as well, largely unsorted, mostly unlisted.
So each you've got rolling shelves. Oh, God, it does go back quite far. And each, you've got lots and lots of small boxes crammed with...
Yes.
Crammed, that's not really an archival word, is it?
Well, actually, these are crammed. And, and part of our... the reason for the stock checking is to... has enabled us to actually figure out how many items we have here. Because these boxes that you can see, these are trays. And in each, there's...
they've got stenciled numbers on the outside.
They have, and which relates to a year and that. But in each of these is a little envelope. And in the little envelope is another little envelope full of 35mm plastic slides. And there can be anything... In these boxes, there can be anything from 2,500 to just over 4,000 negatives.
It's the size of a box of breakfast cereal. Oh, a shoebox.
Shoe
yes,
box.
A shoebox.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a shoebox.
Large gentleman's
yeah,
shoe size.
A large gentleman's shoe size, yeah.
Yes.
And you've just put one back in there, and you'll put it back into a shelf that has maybe... 20 of them, and
yeah.
That's part of a shelf that contains maybe.
So what we now know from the stock check is the number, approximate number. We know how much of it is glass plate, we know how much of it needs to be rehoused, and we know we can now factor in what is involved in terms of the amount of time and resources needed to see to all this. It's not just black and white photographs that we're storing now, we're also storing colour, we're storing prints. And it's no shame to say this, because I think most larger photographic collections would have this. We have our share of nitrate, which is explosive and has to be stored in freezers. We have a huge problem with 35mm film celluloid that is going to degrade, and in fact some has vinegar syndrome in, so storage conditions in the past weren't ideal, and we have inherited problems here which we have to address. We also have problems with storing colour, because obviously colour plastic needs to be stored at a different temperature to other materials. So there's an inherited chemical instability that we have to deal with.
Have you ever been in a situation where you've had to turn something down knowing that it's going to be thrown away?
Well, one of the things we consider as part of our collecting policy is what the investment on the part of the state is likely to be in a collection. So, for example, if a collection is in such a condition that it just is not viable for us to take it on, we have to let it go. Similarly, if there's a collection that is not documented, you know, we cannot take in a collection of 5,000 glass plates if we have no idea what the content is. So until somebody can come up with the information, we can't actually take that on. We just simply do not have the space to store collections that we don't know what they are, or that we're not likely to ever be able to catalogue. So there's a resourcing issue in terms of storage, in terms of what we can afford in cataloguing and digitising terms, and also what we can invest in terms of preservation and conservation.
You just showed me negatives there. So there are glass plates in these
yeah,
as well. All right, there another.
This part here is the Independent H series,
which has been
recently digitised.
Mm. You can't tell by looking at one of these boxes what's in that box?
No. This collection covers 1912 to 1936, and there's an index upstairs.
Are there corresponding contact sheets or any other? There's nothing.
That's 1291 is December 91.
Right.
And then this number here is the negative
19,
number.
1891 or
1991. So if you're looking for December 91, you'd go to this box.
Right.
But as you can see, then there's possibly five or six boxes for December 91.
That's incredible. And of course, you've no idea what's in those envelopes. It could be.
There are some ledgers, but they're very few and far between. But for the most part, we have this enormous collection where we do not have an index database for some of the items, as Keith mentioned, have been digitised, and the glass plates that are online have all had catalogue records attached to them. So the amount of time that's taken is huge, as you can imagine. It's a very slow process because we don't have the resources to undertake massive cataloguing jobs ourselves.
Forbidding. <It's quite>
That's another way of looking
yeah.
at it.
just got so much material.
Well, you know what? With any major task, you break it down into manageable and achievable chunks. The primary project at the moment is to find out what we have. Has it been catalogued before or not? Has it been digitised? There are three main objectives. How many items would be part of that as well?
How many of you are there?
Right, well, a new team was appointed to the NPA last year, so I got an additional four people, and we're now down to three. So we can't employ under the civil service and public service embargo. We're not allowed to employ any staff, so we're looking on the volunteer route.
Is there a commercial basis for the digitisation of work? Do you function as a kind of quasi-commercial organisation in terms of selling reproduction rights? And
there is a charge, generally speaking, to reproduce the image in, for example, a commercial publication. There is an aspect there of covering our costs. The potential of the photographic collections in terms of revenue generating is certainly catching our attention at the moment, and something we have to think more strongly about. You know, the capital grant to the library this past year, for example, has been cut by 50%. So, like other cultural institutions in Ireland, and we're very much under pressure to look to other ways of raising the revenue we need to do the job we're charged with doing. So, and the library is very proactive in that line, currently investigating joint collaborative storage, for example, off-site storage with other cultural institutions in the Dublin area and some of the universities.
How do you fit into the priorities of the rest of the library?
Well, we're very much a priority. We were closed for 9 months last year, and the board reconsidered a decision to close the National Photographic Archive and restaffed it, very generously restaffed it, given the current cutbacks in staff and the 32% cut on staff numbers over the last while.
How did that come about?
Because at the time the decision, the board decided that the main library facilities needed to be supported, declining staff numbers, cost of running the photographic archive. It was decided at the time that the money and resources, staff resources, were best put into facilitating the traditional approaches to running the National Library in Kildare Street, the main library.
You're giving me a positive story here, but something actually happened, that there was a period when a decision was taken in the face of the cuts to close the archive, and then that decision was rescinded. Is that a fair summary of what actually took place?
Well, that relates to a board decision that was taken the year before last. A reassessment of the library's resources had to take place because of the challenging economic times that we're in. So that period was a period which allowed us to reassess the library's priorities, to decide where we wanted to put our eggs, which basket we wanted to put them in, or indeed which baskets we wanted to put them in. In the case of the photographic archive, that meant finding out what we have here with a view to increasing access.
What about the future of this building? It was obviously designed for a situation that was different from the situation today.
The building is leased by the Office of Public Works to the National Library. It's a 30-year lease from Temple Bar Properties. The first 15 years of that will be up in the autumn, and the library will decide then whether it wishes to continue exhibiting photographs, but the option of storing... This is the best storage facility in the country currently for the photographic collections, and until a better one becomes available, I would think that we'll be here for a little bit longer.